I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. TTC Writers is a transit rider membership grassroots organization advocating for more accessible and affordable public transit for Toronto residents. The organization was a culmination of groups dedicated to pushing back against rising transit fares. Today, the organization continues to launch a variety of initiatives that include addressing the TTC's current service and financial cuts and the removal of the Scarborough RT, the area's light rail train. TTC Riders Campaign Committee member Vincent Puhaka discusses the organization's recent initiatives and projects, and the collective power residents have towards demanding fairer, more affordable public transit.
So my name is Vincent Puhaka, and I'm a member of the Campaigns Committee of TTC Riders. And I've been part of TTC Riders since, 2014 or so. It's getting hard to remember because time has gone by, but we'll say 2014.
Mm-hmm. And can you briefly tell me who TTC Riders are and when did it get started?
Absolutely. So TTC Riders is Toronto's membership-based transit rider organization. So we are, as membership-based organization, we are grassroots. We're made up of transit riders and act on behalf of transit riders. So we have no affiliation with, say, the City of Toronto or something like that. And the organization has been around since 2010. And it's a bit of an interesting history because prior to that, I mean, there have been a number of advocacy groups that have formed and fallen apart over the years. We were originally a coalition of organizations. Number of people from the Toronto Environmental Alliance, Social Planning Toronto, the Toronto York Regional Labour Council, ACORN, something called the Fair Fare Coalition, a lot of different groups that are sort of coming together to form TTC Riders. And the big issue back then was the continuously rising fares, but we've branched out into a number of different initiatives over the years, but fares and the level of service are still the main focus of our work.
Mm-hmm. So how did your work for TTC Riders, like how did the organization's work, shift or change during the pandemic?
Well, the most obvious one is an example of what we're doing right now, which is having meetings online and pivoting to that method of organizing. And I'm not going to lie, it's been tough. I think not just us, but anyone doing grassroots organizing was affected by this in a big way because of, you know, you don't have the resources of a large organization to just pivot online. But I think we've been fairly resilient. So for example, last year when we were quite worried about the TTC running out of operations funding, obviously ridership fell off a cliff. And since they're so dependent on the fare box, we were worried about this. So we actually held an online press conference, and it was possible to do. Media were able to take part, and a number of our membership was able to take part. So it was a way in which we pivoted to online organizing.
For their long-term goals, TTC Riders outlines fixing the current transit model and building transit power and leadership.
So as you may have seen on their website, we think the transit funding model is broken. The TTC, a major transit system in North America, is the least funded per rider. And so the majority of day-to-day operations funding actually comes from you and me, the riders, ourselves. This sometimes is pitched as a strength of the TTC, showing how efficient it's run, but it's a problem. For obvious reasons, fares can't continuously rise on the backs of riders whose pay isn't increasing, right? We know this. And secondly, it leaves the system vulnerable to crises like COVID-19, where ridership might fall. So while it is good that you want a transit system that encourages ridership for the social goals and for the environmental goals, you don't want to be dependent on the fare box for your day-to-day funding, for obvious, like I said, for reasons like this. So prior to the 90s, the provincial government actually picked up about half the cost of operations for the TTC and other systems in Ontario. And that was cut under the previous Conservative government, and it's never been restored. And so one of the ways in which we want to see the model fixed is a restoration of that provincial funding. And we'd like the federal government to contribute as well to operations Right now, they don't. They'll kick in some money to build a new line, let's say for the crosstown. They won't contribute to day-to-day operations funding. That has somewhat changed during the pandemic, as there was a joint federal-provincial, I don't want to say bailout, but assistance plan for the TTC. But we'd like to see that continue long-term.
Mm-hmm. And I guess second, can you comment on the building rider power and leadership goal?
Yes, of course. So another, I guess, big problem with transit in this city, it's a bit more esoteric, but you know, the media will turn to politicians for comment on the transit system. And every election, there'll be commentary on each mayoral candidate's plan for transit. This is fine. It's good that the media is talking about transit, but a lot of the problems with our system could be solved if riders were actually listened to and were the source of knowledge. Riders and workers as well, because they know the system too. So rider power looks like, well, it looks like what we're doing right now. When we actually, for example, the city's budget is taking place at the moment, and we've mobilized a large number of folks to come out to the consultations and actually tell the politicians, no, we actually need the system to be funded. You can't just do whatever you want. That's an example of what that looks like. Rider power looks like our reports that we've produced. For example, recently on the Scarborough RT, where we've called for the Scarborough RT corridor to be turned into a busway. You know, the city was just going to have buses run in traffic when they shut down the RT in 2022, next year. That's obviously what happens when riders aren't listened to, that the politicians who don't use transit consider this to be okay. Ah, whatever, they'll just sit in traffic. Who cares about them? So rider power looks like that when you take actions to bring your voice to the forefront, to not only ask the powers that be for something, but to demand it and to get it.
One of the organization's successes is pushing for the Fare Pass. The pass offers single fare and monthly pass discounts for low-income residents. However, Vincent said the eligibility for these passes has yet to be expanded.
So the problem is, well, I should say, moving back a little bit, that the Fare Pass, the discount program, was a major win for us. The problem with it is it hasn't been expanded. So what we'd like to see is the Fare Pass actually kick in for low-income workers in general, because those on social assistance, ODSP, Ontario Works, obviously desperately need cheaper transit. But there's a whole constellation of folks who don't qualify for the narrow definition of Ontario Works. You're probably working poor. This is a lot of transit riders, right? You work at Walmart, you make too much money to qualify for social assistance, but you're not making that much money. So that's sort of the piece. We want to see the pass expanded and given a deeper discount. Because, well, look, inflation's all over the news right now, but what's not discussed is the effect of these sort of things on low-income people who are already cash-strapped even when inflation is low. So something like expanding the Fare Pass would go a big, big way to making people's lives easier. And I think, you know, or we think, pandemic recovery as well.
Amid the province reopening and people going back to in-person activities, TTC service cuts have been blamed on the vaccine mandate pass that led to some workers being laid off. While ridership is expected to improve, there have not been any plans to bring back the lost service during the cuts. Residents continue to deal with longer wait times, with buses and trains staying reduced.
Yeah, so the interesting thing was that the TTC actually did some major cuts in November. They blamed the vaccine mandate. We don't think that's totally a lie, but they blamed the vaccine mandate for cuts that they wanted to make, right? Because the system wasn't being funded, ridership was down, so on and so forth. Now, ridership's improving, and there's no plan to bring back that lost service until Q2 of this year, which we think is a problem. So we're still optimistic. We have a campaign right now where Valentine's Day is coming up. So we're getting transit riders to sign a Valentine's card for the mayor, because those cuts have broken our hearts and we want the mayor to win us back. It's a relationship ultimatum. So we're going to present that to him and to the budget chief in February. And there's been good take up on this campaign. I think there's a lot of voices growing to restore those service cuts, not only restore them, but actually increase service. Because ridership will return, especially in a city like Toronto, where so many people need transit to get around. And I think, I mean, we're fairly optimistic that we can put some pressure on them to restore and expand that lost service. It's not a done deal yet, though. When you're doing work like this, you need to be creative. Because it's very easy just to have a rally at City Hall and wave some signs, and the politicians know that's happening and they can safely ignore it. What you have to do is be creative. So we thought the Valentine's card idea was fun. Mayor Tory has a wife, so presumably she'll be giving him a Valentine's card, but it's up to us as transit riders to give this ultimatum to them. It's kind of a clever way of doing that, we thought. And again, people are responding to it, right? It's different than just getting folks to sign a petition, which is kind of boring and people have seen before. Having a Valentine's card at the subway station, people will stop and take a look. Maybe not when it's minus 30, they're going to try and get warm. But on a regular day, people are going to stop and they're going to take a look, and it's going to sort of engage people in conversation. Part of what we're doing with this campaign too is just educating people. Because I think transit riders just expect that service will just suck. Mm-hmm. And we want to tell people to know it's not inevitable that it sucks. It's up to us, and it's within our power to fight for better transit service. So that's a way of engaging folks in conversation.
One of TTC Rider's current initiatives is lobbying for a busway to replace the outgoing Scarborough RT. The TTC expects to expand the subway into Scarborough, but construction is expected to be completed in 2030. Shuttle buses were initially planned to substitute the lost service in the meantime.
Way back in 2007, there was a plan to expand surface light rail transit in the city. A number of those lines, Shepherd, the RT replacement, what then was called the Scarborough-Malvern LRT, would have been in Scarborough. So Scarborough would have been a big winner from this plan. Some people didn't like that. They thought it's going to take away space from their cars and so on and so forth. And they had a whole counter campaign saying that Scarborough deserves the subway. So back and forth we went. Now the subway plan is the plan that's sort of operational. In order for that to, well, actually, the RT itself is just old because they built it in the 80s. And so it's past the end of its service life. So unfortunately, all this debate delayed anything getting built for Scarborough. And now the RT needs to get shut down. Subway is not going to be done when it shuts down. It's only started construction. So the TTC originally was saying that we'll just replace the RT with buses in mixed traffic. So you can complain about the RT a lot, but when it does work, it is fast. And that's going to be a deep, deep hardship for folks who already have a long commute from somewhere like Malvern. I grew up in Guildwood myself, which is also out near Pickering. So I know it is a long trek to get anywhere else in this city. And the RT is a big help to people. So with that shut down, people were kind of pissed off. And I must say that a lot of our rider base is from Scarborough. So people are really pushing us to say, look, we got to do something about this. That was the genesis of our report, calling for the RT to be turned into a busway.
TTC riders held a press conference last week to demand for the busways instead of the shuttle buses. Like the TTC North expansions into Vaughan, Vincent said that he expects the Scarborough expansion to be delayed as well.
The subway is going to be delayed, guaranteed, just like the crosstown was. We know these construction projects are. People can't be stuck in mixed traffic for 10 years. That's, I mean, about a fifth of your life. Like, it's not good. So the busway plan is a way for us to cheaply get fast transit for Scarborough while that subway is being built. And if the busway is successful, it's a demonstration project, right? Then you can just expand bus rapid transit all across the city. It's quite transformational, especially for somewhere that, again, has been kind of starved of investment, like Scarborough.
Why is it that, I guess, that community or that area has been, I guess, underrepresented when it comes to funding for transit?
So there's two arguments that you can make about this. The more mainstream one is that Scarborough was originally built in the 60s and 50s as a bedroom community for commuters, kind of like Pickering or something now. From the 80s onward, it's become more working class, but the need for funding wasn't recognized quick enough. And so now they're playing catch up with the differing needs of the community. So working class community is going to use transit a lot more, may have not as good health outcomes. So you'll see more use of your clinics and your hospitals. And it sort of changed from being a bedroom community to being an urban community. The other explanation could just be straight racism, because a lot of folks in Scarborough are people of color, in addition to being working class, and the powers that be in the city have less of an interest in investing in those folks than they do other parts of the city that are richer. A friend of mine always joked that somehow Rosedale gets four subway stations, if you count Summerhill, yeah, Summerhill, Rosedale, Castle Frank, and Sherborne. That's four stations for Rosedale. Scarborough has a few, but not enough transit, right? And that's how our city's been. That's how our city's been built. We think the answer is probably a combination of both of those reasons, like a genuine just not understanding how the needs of Scarborough has changed, and maybe a bit of discrimination thrown in there for good measure.
What can residents do to have their voice heard by the TTC and Toronto City Council?
Well, the big thing is, in a general sense, don't ask, demand. We're very nice in Canada. We like to just make a phone call to our city council and say, hey, can you please do this for me? They're not going to do it unless you push them to do it. And the best way to push them to do it is to join our campaigns, because we're going to be continuously mobilizing people in Scarborough to fight for this option. I should point out that these tactics work, right? So when the shutdown announcement was first made, there was no option for a busway included. It was just mixed traffic. Now the TTC is thinking about several options, one of which is our option. So our pressure forced them to put it on the table, and city staff, I believe, recommended it, or at least spoke highly of it in their report. So what that means is this kind of pressure works. You don't have to just go home and grumble about the situation. You can actively make it better. Don't just have stuff be done to you. You need to fight back. We just expect, oh, there's a service cut. That's terrible. I guess it'll take longer for me to go places. No, don't accept that. Join something like TTC Riders. If you're listening from somewhere outside of Toronto, find a transit group in your area. Start one if you have the time. Because together we can actually make change. The example I gave is the busway is now an option that the city is considering. They weren't doing it before. We made them consider it, right? The fare pass, although incomplete, as I've said, exists as of 2018 because we pushed for it, or transit riders pushed for it. They wouldn't have offered it because they're nice, right? So my message to anyone listening is don't just wait for stuff to happen to you. You can make things happen yourself.
That was Vincent Puhaka of TTC Riders. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.